Hallelujah. I'm so happy that your pastor is speaking so loud. because that is what I do. I speak so loud. You know, I'm a Zulu guy. So... So, you know, Zulus, they always overdo it. So, when I saw that you have a pastor who's loud, I said, thank God. Because sometimes you go into the church and you find that the pastor is soft. And you are seated there, you're like, hey, if I take that mic, everybody will just run out. Hallelujah. God is good all the time. My name is Sipiwe Sibiya, and this is my second service today. Amen. So forgive me, I'm very tired. So I'll preach and go like, then you will follow. Judges chapter 6. We don't have First Judges chapter 6. We just have Judges chapter 6. And we will read verse 14 to 16. Pastor, you didn't tell me about time and so on. Otherwise, 49 minutes. Okay. So I have 49 minutes starting from now. Oh, no, starting after we have read. It's Judges chapter 6. We read from verse 14. Then the Lord ordered him, go with all your great strength and rescue Israel from the Midianites. I myself am sending you. Gideon replied, but Lord, how can I rescue Israel? My clan is the weakest in the tribe of Manasseh, and I'm the least important member of my family. The Lord answered, you can do it because I will help you. Now, I want us, I want us to just sing verse 16. Just look at your Bible and we will say together, this is our song for today. The Lord answered, you can do it because I will help you. You will crush the Midianites as easily as if there were only one man. Hallelujah. Amen. And that is our song for today. Amen. He says, go. You will win. There will be success. Not because of your education. Not because of your color. Not because of what you know. But because I will help you. You will win. There will be success. Nobody will be able to stand before you. Even the enemy will not be able to stand before you. Not because you are clever, not because you know everything about Christianity, but because I will be there and I will help you. That is the song for today. We don't have any power. We don't have any wisdom. We don't have anything we can do for ourselves. The only thing we have is the hand of God helping us. Amen. The only thing we have
is the hand of God carrying us through. That is why even when we talk, when we testify, we say, the Lord has done this and this and this and this. Yet we talk about ourselves, but we say the Lord has done this and this and this and this. Because we know that without God, we cannot do anything. So God simply says, go and fight. I will be there. And I will not be watching. I will be helping you. The Bible says the Israelites sinned against God. And God was very angry and he gave them up to the Midianites for 7 years. Because when we sin, God will get angry. When we sin, God will get angry. So God was angry with these people, his people. He was angry with them and he gave them to those guys, the Midianites. And the Bible says the Israelites were afraid. They ran away because if you don't have a spirit of God in you, you become a coward. You see, if you want to replace fear, you replace fear by faith. So if you don't have faith, you have fear. You can't have it both. If you have faith, you have no fear. But if you have fear, you have no faith. So faith is only replaced by fear, and fear is only replaced by faith. So the moment these guys, they lost their faith in God because the Holy Spirit left them, so they started to run away. And they ran away, they went to just hide themselves. And the Bible says, the Midianites came and destroyed everything they were trying to do. They will try and plant and the Midianites will come and destroy. They will come and do this and the Midianites, they came and destroyed. But this is what I like about them. When all that was happening, they just came back to their senses. They said, this is happening to us because we don't have God. Let us go and cry to God so that God will restore our faith. They didn't go and cry into their neighbors. They went and cried to God. Because sometimes we waste our time crying to people, yet there is God. We waste our time crying to our friends, and yet there is God. And you know what happens? When you cry to your neighbors and friends, they will talk about it. And don't blame them, because that is human nature. People were created to do that. Whenever you tell them something, you see, they will talk about it. But God is very busy with your life. Everything you tell God, God will just do it. Everything you tell God, God will just do it. But if you tell people, people will start talking about it. And that is human nature. You tell me, I'll tell somebody. Somebody will tell somebody. Somebody will tell. And every time I tell somebody, I'll say, don't tell them you heard it from me. I make sure that I say, don't tell them that you took it from me. This is a secret. Don't tell it to anyone. And somebody will just do the same, and somebody will just do the same. And by the end of the day, everybody will know about that. But if you tell Jesus about it, because Jesus is busy with this restoration. You see, Jesus is busy restoring people. There is no time for gossip. For Jesus, there is no time for gossip. And you know, Pastor, sometimes I think we expect a lot from people. Sometimes I think we expect a lot from people. You know, Church of God, no person is permanent in your life. That's a sad truth. There is no person in your life who is permanent. Even you, my married friends, she is not permanent. You are not permanent. One day somebody will go. Because no human being was born to be permanent. Only God is permanent in your life. There is only one person you meet here and you meet in heaven. That is God. But in this world, there is no one, no person is permanent. Everyone will come and go. I don't know, but this is what happens in my culture. When somebody dies, the aunts, the uncles, and all these people will come. They will come, and they will be like this. And the funeral will go on, and after the funeral, everybody will be saying goodbye. Everybody will be saying, I'm rushing home now, goodbye. But when they say goodbye, Jesus will say, I'm staying here. I'm staying here. And there is a saying which says, when days are dark, friends are few. When days are dark, human friends, they cannot stand darkness. They were not created to stand darkness. Where there is darkness, they will go and find light. But Jesus is light. Where there is darkness, he will go. Hallelujah, church. Where there is darkness, he will go. It simply means when days are dark, friends are few, but Jesus is there. Because Jesus is the light of this world. That is why you are able to stand. My friends are gone. Everybody is gone. But you are able to stand with Christ alone because he is light. He comes with light. In darkness, he will come with light and people will run away. They are not running away from you. They are running away from your darkness. Because they cannot stand your darkness. The Bible says, Peter said to Jesus, where you die, I will die. Do you remember the story? Jesus, where you die, I will die. Peter was so in love with Jesus. He says, and he meant it. He was not faking it. He meant it. Jesus, where you die, I will die. But when Jesus was in those dark days, in those dark moments, Peter became a human again. And he said, I don't know this man. It's not that he hated Jesus. But those were dark moments. And during dark moments, people ran away. So you don't have to hate people when they run away. No, you don't have to hate them. You see, when it's dark, they will run away. And when there is light, they will come back. When it's dark, they will run away. And when they will come back, they are like that. We are created like that. So the Israelites remembered that we belong to God. So let us go and cry to God. We belong to God. Let us go and say, God, we have sinned. Come back to us. That's what they wanted. They said, God, come back to us. It is dark now. We need your light. And God was only waiting for that. You know, God is amazing. God can watch you. Just waiting for you to say, God, I need you now. And then he will come. So Jesus, God came and said to Gideon, Gideon, you have an answer. Go and help my people. And there are two things. When God speaks to Gideon, Gideon remembers two things about him. He says, I come from the weakest tribe. And number two, I am the least important person at home. God, I want to go where you want me to go. I want to help your people. I want to go and do what you want me to do. But I have two problems. One, my tribe is the weakest. So if my tribe is weak, I'm also weak. Background. My background is very bad. I cannot go. I cannot do anything. Background is very bad. There are people who are busy worshiping their background when God is here to take them over. There are people who are saying, I cannot go forward because of my background. We are the weakest. He says, we are the weakest, and even myself, I'm the least important. Just go and find other people. Ah, God, go away. I can't. And I was also like that. I was born from a very poor family. A very poor family. Like, in the whole village, they knew that we were poor. My mother was working as a domestic worker. And my father was a bricklayer. He used to build these beautiful schools. But he was drinking too much. And most of the time, my father was not home. He only came home when he's broke or when he wanted to beat my mother. So every time my father came home, we knew trouble has come. Every day, we were just saying, let him not come. We don't want him here. Let him not come, because we knew that if he comes, there will be trouble. And I had two sisters and one brother, and I'm the last born at home. And we grew up in there to see, in a way, that when you go and visit your friends will tell you from the distance, they will say, we don't have food. Because every day when they see you, they think you are here begging for food. And I didn't have shoes. I didn't have a t-shirt. I only had a short with two holes here. So I was very isolated, very isolated. And you know, even these younger boys, they will come and just clap me here and beat me here. Because when you have a certain spirit, when you are told that you are nothing, you can't even defend yourself. When you are told that you are nothing, you can't even defend yourself. Everything which is happening to, like, every bad thing which comes to you, you say, I deserve it. So I was like that. I was like, I deserve it, I deserve it, I deserve it. And I wanted so much to die. Every day I wanted so much to die. Because there was a lot of poverty at home. And I remember when I was doing grade 2, that was the first time I saw a police van. We stole 700 from our class teacher. And we were arrested. And they wanted the 700. We didn't take the 700 for drugs. No. We didn't take it for drugs. We didn't take it to go out and so on. No. We only wanted two things: chicken and rice. Because chicken and rice, you can only get it in December 25, if you are lucky. You get it December 25, if you are lucky. So people will be like talking about chicken and rice, and they said, guys, let us steal it. Let's steal this money. We stole the money to buy rice and chicken. And we bought it that is how we were caught. Because every day we'll go to one mama and say, we want rice and chicken. And you see, at home I was the youngest child. So my mother will try so much to get me food, even when it means that he doesn't give my other siblings. He will just take here. But those days I was not hungry. Every day he talked about, are you hungry? I said, yeah, no, I'm good. I'm okay. So they suspected that there was a problem there. But the situation at home turned me to be something else. And, you know, after a while, my older brother lost his mind. And he left. We don't know where he went. So it was like drama after drama after drama after drama. And just those days, my mother got sick and she died. And my father couldn't take that. The following year, my father died. So I was left with two sisters and myself, and I was the youngest. And my sisters, they left. They went and stayed with their boyfriends. I was alone at home. And that is where I enjoyed my freedom. That is where I enjoyed my freedom, because there was now I was alone at home. So I was stealing from this township to another township. We started stealing at night, and people became so careful and so on and so on, so we changed the game. We were stealing during the day. During the day, because we knew that there is one person in that house that is a maid. So we'll come in and say, "Maid, we want this," and take it and go. So I began, and I was very young. I was very young. But there's the danger about the devil. The devil will tell you that nobody can touch you, yet he knows that people can touch you. So I was. That's why they say the devil is a liar, because the devil can tell you that you are good, you are top. That's why you have these boys who are walking like this. Do you know them? Those boys who are walking like that, those boys who pull their trousers down, because they are told that if they do that, they become high, yet they are low. So I was like that. And you see, you can laugh. I was the boss, and my friends were older than me, but I was the boss, because I was able to play them. So we started these things. We started smoking. We started this thing. And, you know, they will report us to the police, and the police, you see, I was very young. And you see, sometimes these police guys will come at home and ask for me. Do you get what I'm saying? They will ask for me. Asking me for me. You know? So I'll be pointing, I saw him, he went this way. Because I was so young, nobody will just suspect that I can do what I was doing. So they would be like, they called me, so they would be like, "Did you see him?" So I said, "Yes, he went this side." So when they catch us, they will get us and they will beat us and they will let us go. And the community began to be angry. They said, "Let us kill these boys." And one of my friends came and told me, that he said, "You know, today is your night. You're going to die." And I said, "Let them come." And I slept. You see, we have these flats, houses. So I slept on top of the roof. That is where I slept that day. And yes, they came in numbers. Every weapon you can think of, it was there. So they came. And you see, one of the things which motivated me was the fact that my sisters used to come to take the stolen, you know, the stolen goods. So I was like, really, I'm doing something good, because I'm looking after my sisters. I'm a man in the house. And these people were just told, they used to come and take the shoes, come and take everything I stole, and I will feel good about it. And these guys, they wanted to kill us, so I decided to run away from home. And I went to Mtubatuba. That is where I stayed. Those who are from KZN, they know what I'm talking about. From Mulundi to Mtubatuba. That's a long trip. And that is where I stayed. And I was working at the taxi rank with my friends and so on and so on. And later on, I was adopted by this taxi guy. He used to own taxis. And this guy took me to his home, so I would wash his taxis and so on, but he didn't pay me anything. I was only paid like a plate of food. And this man was so cruel. He was owning a lot of guns. So he will just fight with people and phone me, and he will say, "Just come and bring the car and take my car." So I will come and give him another car and take this car. So many times I was stopped by guys who wanted to kill me, who nearly killed me. So every time we exchange the cars, he wants those guys to kill me instead of him. He used to beat his wife and so on. It was very bad, and he kept me close here. So I was learning now another level of doing bad things. We had a lot of guns in that house. And he would send me, you see, he had some guys who were stealing car parts. And I will go in the middle of the night to collect those car parts. And even today, I cannot point those guys. Because I will just come and park, and they will load, and they will say, go! And sometimes they will not say go, they will just shoot up, and they will know it's time to go. And one day, I decided to call back home one of my friends. I said, what is happening there? How are things? And he said, your sister has died. Now, you can imagine, I cannot go back home. I was afraid. And I said, okay, thank you very much. And on Saturday, I called again to just find out what happened during the funeral. And he said, the funeral went well, but your other sister has died. And he said, because there is no one here, the funeral will be tomorrow. So one of my sisters was buried on Saturday, one on Sunday. So I knew from that day that from being a last born, I'm now a first born. So I went to this guy. I said, you know, my other sister has died, and you see, there is a funeral tomorrow. Can we go? Because I, you know, if he said yes, I was going to go because I trusted so much these guns. I knew that if I go with him, nobody will even come close to me. But this is what he said. He said, you are not going anywhere. You are my slave. You will sit here. So I stayed there, and they had that funeral. And that was the end of it. But later on, this guy shot himself and he died. And the preacher, the priest who came to bury him, because everybody thought I was his brother, you know, I was always like here, like a bodyguard. So they were asking me what is going to happen with these Texans. And I said, no, you know what, this guy is not my brother. We are not even related. So the priest said to me, okay, after this funeral, come and stay with us in our church. I was like, me? Church? Are you out of your mind, preacher? Because, you see, when we grew up, we never went to church. And nobody told us about God, let alone Jesus. The only thing we knew about God is that God is for rich people and white people. We will sit down and look at those planes going, and our parents will say, yes, you see now, this is for a white man because God is a white man. So we already, when we were growing up, we knew that we don't have a part in the kingdom of God because we are black and because we are poor. So we knew that we deserve to go through this pain because we are black and because we are poor. We knew that God only favors white people, not us. So this person, this priest say, come and stay with us. We'll give you food and so on and so on. I said, no ways. I'm not going to church. I'm not going to church. But later on that day, they said they are selling the house for this Texan guy. So I was forced to go and stay with this priest. Now, if you know the Anglican setup, the church house is here, the church is here. And our agreement was, I will stay in the church house, but I will not go to the church. So every time I will listen, and they will be like, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. And I will say, okay, this Jesus must be famous. Everybody is saying Jesus. Now, for me, Jesus was one of the preachers. And later on, later on, they started to complain. You know, these church people, they complained, there is a boy who stays there, but he doesn't come to church, and so on and so on. So the priest told me, you know, people are complaining. I don't mind, and I will not listen to them. You can stay here. But I said, I'm going. So I left, went back to my friends, and I stayed with my friends. There is one thing he did. He came and he found us right there on the streets. He gave me food. He said, I'm not here to take you. I'm here to give you food. So he came many times to give me food. And one day he came, he told me that there is a men's conference and he wants me to attend. He will buy me clothes to attend that. I was so interested. Until he mentioned the place, the conference is at Tulunda. I said, well, never. He said, the problem with the conference, that the conference is at Tulunda. Never. And by that time, he didn't know anything about my scandals and so on. So I said, I'm not going. No, never. And he bought clothes. He came to me, showed me clothes. He said, I will pay for you and so on. So I started to feel bad. So I went to one of my friends. I said, my friend, I'm going to church. He said, okay. You're going to church? Yes, but I need a gun. See, you know, in church, you need a Bible, not a gun. I said, no, I need a gun, my friend. And he gave me a gun. And we went to that conference. That conference went from Friday to Sunday. My brothers and sisters, on Friday, I didn't sleep. I was up all night because I was just checking who's coming, checking the lights, checking everything. I was so afraid. And in my heart, I was saying, why did I come here in the first place? But tomorrow again, we went to the service. And the way the pastors were seated, they were not seated like you. They were seated like this, facing the congregation. So again, they started to talk about Jesus. And you know, you have this the row of pastors there. So I'm like at the back. I say, okay, Jesus is that one. If Jesus is not that one, Jesus is that one. And they said, this Jesus will give me peace. This Jesus will change my life. This Jesus will do this and this and this. I said, okay, that's a guy I want to meet. And you know, I was on drugs, so I was a bit high. If you understand what I'm saying. I was on drugs, so I was a bit high. So I said, that's a guy I want to meet. They said, Jesus will give you this. My brothers and sisters, I went to see Jesus. The encounter I had with Jesus was not what I expected. When I came, in the middle of the hall, I checked my friend pastor, and I looked at him, and he was crying. So I said, maybe I'm doing something bad because my friend pastor is crying because I'm going to see Jesus. So I took two steps back, and something told me to go forward. And eventually, I went forward. They prayed for me, and they prayed for us. We were about 9 or 10. They prayed for us and so on, and we left the room, and they started to explain this Jesus. But my brothers and sisters, my fathers and mothers, I didn't need more explanation because the feeling I had inside my heart was very different from that day. So they were busy explaining, but I was already in the third heaven. They were busy explaining, the child of God do not do this, the child of God do not do this, the child of God do not do this. I was already there. And when we left that room, I said, I want to cut my hair. That's the first thing I asked for. Because it was ginger, you know, this ginger, this dye, you know, it was orange and so what, you know. So I said, I want to cut my hair. The pastor said to me, no, we will do it tomorrow. I said, now. Because when Jesus comes, everything must start now. When Jesus comes, everything must must start now. We don't have a time to go and say goodbye. We don't have a time to drink alcohol for the last time. We don't have time to smoke for the last time. If you encounter Jesus, it must start now. There is no time for goodbyes. There is no time to say goodbye. There is no time to say, let me go and think about it. If you encounter with Jesus, everything must start now. That is why even in the cross, the thief who talked to Jesus, Jesus said to him, today, now, I will be with you in paradise. Not tomorrow, not next month, but today, now your life has been changed. When Jesus comes, it must start now. Not tomorrow, but it must start now. So I said, Pastor, now I have joy. Now I have peace. And you, do you know what? I knew that I could not bring back my family. But the joy I had, I was happy that at least I have somebody who can give me attention. Because all along I was looking for that someone who can give me the attention. And I was so happy that there is Jesus who will give me attention. There is Jesus who will be, who will go with me wherever I go. So we went back, we left Tulundi, we went back, so I surrendered everything to the pastor and so on. And it was on Sunday when we went back. So later on Sunday, I told the pastor, I'm going. He said, where are you going? I said to him, I'm going to die. And he was thinking suicide. So he started to counsel me, you know what, everything will be okay, you know what, and so on and so on. So early in the morning I left. I didn't tell him because I knew that, you see, this guy is stopping me. And indeed, I knew that I'm going to die. Do you know where I went? I went back home. Amen. I was knocking like a crazy man. I was going from this house to another house, knocking and saying it was me. You remember that day? You remember that day? That was me. You remember that day? That was me. You remember you lost this and this and this? That was me. But now I'm saved. And I'm telling you, I was sharing with my brother here. Many people were saying, we don't even remember who you are. Many people. But when I left the church, I thought today I'm going to die. But when God forgives you, even other people will be able to forgive you. Not because of your power, not because of your words, but because the Holy Spirit will go before you. So later on that day, I came back and he says, what happened? So I told him the whole story. I said, this is what is happening with my life. So I went, he was amazed. But from that day, my life was changed. From that day, my life was changed. And I went back to school. And when I was doing grade 11, God called me to preach the word. So, first time, I said, God, I will not do it. And I had a bus accident. It broke my neck. And right on the spot, God said to me, I'm calling you. So I said, yes, God. So I went to the hospital and came back. And they were giving these CAOs things at school. So, and something told me not to put your name there. So I did. And later on that day, another bus accident, boom. And that is where I said, Lord, wherever you lead me, I will follow. Now, I went to my church people, like the bishops. I told the bishops I wanted to just become a preacher, become a priest. And I was excited. You know, when you talk about becoming a preacher, you think everybody will be excited. They wrote me a letter. They said to me, we think there is something wrong with your mind. What we think you need a psychologist because you have gone through so much in your life. It's not the calling. That is not the calling. But you are confused. But the time they were saying I was confused, God was saying, go, I am sending you. You. Because people can disapprove, but God will approve. And remember this, you don't qualify to be a child of God based on your past in God. Because your past is just down there. When you go, when you walk with God, don't go and stop and look back and go and stop and look back. Don't entertain your past. You know, in my walk with God, I go before, I go forward. The only time I look back is when I want to see what the Lord has done. I don't look back to praise my problems. I don't look back to praise my sorrows. I say, when I remember what the Lord has done, I will never go back anymore. My journey is not going back, but my journey is going forward. I am not going back, I'm going forward. And what a good thing that everything I do, God will help me. So the bishops were confused. Everybody was confused. They were saying, you know, you need an easy way out and so on and so on. Go and look for a job. But God was confirming it in my heart. Because you are not here. You must mark this. You are not here for the pastor. You are here for God. When you read the story of Hannah, the priest was confused. But Hannah was in her senses. Because sometimes our pastors will be confused by what God is telling us. Because they are also human. So every time, go for God. Don't go for a pastor. Don't go for a bishop. Don't worship the pastor. Don't worship the bishop. Worship God, because when everybody is confused, God will give a solution. And God kept on saying to me, I will help you. Just go, I'll help you. So there was a lot of junk in my mind. You see, from the day I was born, I was told that I'm nothing, to the day I was born again. And you know, from the day I was born, I entertained the fact that I'm nothing. So it was not easy to change my mind. So I was looking at my life like Gideon. I was saying, God, how can you send something like this? You know, when you start pointing people, God, why don't you go to this boy? Why don't you go to this boy? Because I'm just nothing, God. I'm the weakest person. I come from the weakest family. I am nothing to you, God. And God says one thing, go, I will help you. You don't need your strength. You don't need your wisdom. I will just help you. And you know, those of us who are parents here, you know, when you want to see spring cleaning, go on Saturday or during school holidays. Stand up, my brother. You know, our parents will be looking like they want to do spring cleaning, but during the holidays, that is where they will start doing spring cleaning. And you ask them why, and they will say, because we have kids now, they will help me to carry these heavy things. Do you get me? They will say, I just need somebody who will help me to carry this. You know, I can clean for myself. I can do it for myself. But this is too heavy for me. I need somebody to help me to carry this. That is where God comes in our lives. When we have these heavy, heavy, heavy loads, God will just come and carry us through. It doesn't matter what you're going through, God will help you. Because God is not a man. God is not a man. God will not lie. And from that day, God has been helping me. You see, I'm not saying this because I want to brag. But when I grew up at home, there was no car gate. That was a prophecy. Car gate, you know car gate? Where you open the cars, enter. We had one gate, just a narrow gate like this, for people to go in and go out. And that was a prophecy that in this home we will never have a car. So to remove a prophecy, you need a prophet. Hallelujah. You don't understand that. If you want to remove a prophecy, you need a prophet who is higher than the prophet who prophesied in your life. So those people who told me that I'm nothing, I needed somebody, higher prophet, to tell me that I can do it. So I went and bought a car. So I'm the first one to have a car at home. I'm the first one to go from grade 1 to grade 12. I'm the first one to have a taste of a university. I'm the first one to graduate, not by might, not by my wisdom, but by the power of the Holy Spirit. Because when God says, I will help you, indeed God will help you. When God says, I will help you, when God says, I will never leave you, when God says, wherever you go, I will go with you. Do you know the one thing you need in this life? You don't need your friends. You don't need all these people. You need God to carry you. If you have God in your life, God will carry you. God is faithful. God is not a man. God will never change. People will change. They are like seasons. Today they are summer, tomorrow they are winter. But God can never change. I will help you. And the Bible says, Gideon went to fight the Midianites. He was shaking like this. And he called many men. There were too many. They came to fight the Midianites. And God said, those men are too many. You see, if you go in a war with those men, you will come back confused. Tell those men to go back. I need you. I need you because I will be there with you. And Gideon told those men, guys, go back. I don't need you anymore because I have God and so on. You see, there are people in your life who are just delaying you. Do you understand me? There are people in your life who are just delaying you. Every time you want to go forward, they will tell you about the dangers of the future. They will quote people who failed. They will not quote people who succeeded. Every time when you tell them, I want to be this, in future I want to be that and that, and they will tell you, forget about it, my dear. So-and-so tried it and failed. So-and-so tried it and failed. Who are you? So God will just move them away, so that you can rely on God. Don't rely on man's wisdom, but rely on God. Rely on God. And God says, I will help you. What a friend we have in Jesus. What a friend we have in Jesus. I will help you. He didn't tell him how, but he told him one thing. I will help you. I will help you. Now let us pray.